for Ryan Fitzpatrick to come off the edge of Flowers up the middle. Grab by Bailey. Oh, and look at this. Chris Johnson off to the races. Getting a block downfield from right. Getting a block downfield from Michigan. That was a Tennessee touchdown. Oh, baby, what a play.
They blocked four punts this season. Most in the league. And Murray gets a line drive punt away. That's pounding to a halt at the one. Perfection.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Transatlantic Titans podcast, the best podcast over the pond. We were going to talk about all the positive things to do with the latest NFL draft coming up for the Tennessee Titans. Now, you may notice that this voice does not sound like Adam's southern tones giving you all the information that you need, and instead you've been given the rookie to try and guide this ship through this up-and-coming draft. But I'm not doing it alone. I guess I may as well introduce myself first. Obviously, I'm Miles. You can tell by my slightly northern accent. Following the map further up north, I'm joined by Neil. How you doing, Neil?
Yeah, not bad, Miles. I hope you haven't come for like in-depth draft analysis, but I will complain that we're going to draft another tackle.
I mean, spoiler alert, I think that might be the case for a couple of other people as well. Let's follow that map back down south to hear the southern tones of Mr. Greg Kett. How are we doing, Greg?
Oh, it's good to be back on, boys. It feels like ages since we've done this. Looking forward to it. Thursday night. I'm glad that we're not having to stay up until 3 a.m. for our pick. We'll be should be in bed, tucked up nicely by at least 1 a.m. at the very latest. No, look forward to it. Look forward to some draft chat and convincing Neil that the tackle is the right way to go.
I mean, fingers crossed that we're going to be done nice and early based on what the Titans have done in the past. Who knows? Big Jeff could be getting sent somewhere for a stupid pick.
Listen, I'm
all about transitions here. I've gone swiftly into Discord Corner with the first one we got. David Sweetland actually said he thinks that we're going to trade Big Jeff for a 7-round pick this year in the 2025 5th-round pick. And in his place, we're going to sign a 33-year-old backup from the 49ers for a 2nd-round pick. Now, I've done research, which isn't something that you're going to hear very often. I've looked at who the 49ers actually have, who's 33 years old, and there's only one player. Bonus point straight away. Does anyone know who that player is?
Fred Warner?
Nope.
Maybe he's too young.
I'm wearing a shirt of that person's position. Anyone who listens knows it'll be a blazing game shirt. Mr. Kyle Juszczyk for a 2nd-round pick. Anyone taking that?
Was he a second round pick? Jesus.
No, well, no. Dave's saying that that's what he wants us to trade him for. So we're going to offer the 49ers a 2nd-round pick.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying Juszczyk was a 2nd-round.
I reckon Pollard and Spence, you know, Brittany behind him.
I'll only ever truly love Jarlston Fowler. That's it. Got room for another running back, fullback in my affections.
Fullback's the old game, isn't it? It's not fashionable to have a fullback anymore, is it? Let's be honest.
To go on to other comments that we've had, and we'll try not to dive too much into what our thoughts will be on the 1st-round pick. Tom Vincent has obviously given a shout out to Fashanu, but John Fashanu. Obviously, I'm sure everyone loves John Fashanu's work. For anyone that's from UK bound,
Awuga.
Awuga, indeed.
Gary Mallett, not too fond.
a comment that we've had today from Ellis is, what is your favourite name to come out of the draft in the last few years? And I can jump in straight away and go, listen, I've got a blazing game shirt. Like, and the thing is, he didn't get drafted, actually. So that's a poor call for myself. He said Smoke Monday.
I've thought long and hard about this name in particular, and it's not something that's going to come up because I don't think we need a corner, but how did McKinstry end up being called Kool-Aid? What?
I really hope that's his real name.
Is it a nickname?
It's real name, right?
No, jeez. It can't be, surely.
Listen, we're making headlines here. We're going to say that it's his real name. Greg, have you got any names that jump out from you over the last years other than Derrick Henry as a favourite name?
I'm going to go for a former Tennessee Titan, Brady Breeze. I enjoyed that name when that came out.
There'll be no complaints about
as well. You could throw that one.
Oh, Racing McMath. There's got to be no complaints about double B's in this podcast. and then One that we can get stuck into then, which dives into the first round. Matt Andrews has obviously said who he would like to take in the first round. He's named a couple of names, but then if not, he actually feels like there's going to be a lot of action that's going on in the top 10. I guess starting with you, Neil, who are we going to be drafting at number 7 and why is it going to be the right decision?
I mean, I think obviously all things that I would do aside, I think they will draft Joel, but I think a lot's going to depend from what I've read, what I've listened to, what I can gather in, is who jumps for a QB. I think it depends how many quarterbacks go in that top 4 as to what we do with our pick. I think that all will be revealed on the night, really. But I think if those QBs go early and somebody wants that number 7 pick, I definitely think Ran will be open for business.
I mean, if you even have a little look just quickly at the teams that are ahead of us, you've got the Bears, the Commanders, the Patriots, and Arizona. Now, three of them, Chicago, Commanders, and Patriots, we all expect to go QB. You've then got, obviously, the Cardinals, Chargers, and Giants before us. But do you think, based on those positions, that we're going to have someone like Alt available? Because I think there's going to be a lot of, like what Matt was saying, I think there's going to be a lot of changes and also, lots of trades going on.
I don't think you can really rule out Minnesota as well because they've got ammo, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I think it's for that reason. I think they picked up that extra first-round pick to try and get further up the board, which, like I said, it depends how many QBs go. I mean, I don't imagine that Ran and Callie are so married to Joel that they wouldn't explore options if somebody came up for that 7th pick.
Greg, are you thinking the same? I think you mentioned before that you were saying that tackle's the right way to go. Are you leaning towards Alt as well?
Joe Alt's the one that stands out. I think Olufashe is a very, very good talent. I think he might be a bit of a reach at 7, personally. I think he might be available if we were to trade back with someone who wants to jump us, depending on who that is and how far we have to go back. He could still be there. I don't think anyone's going to be trading up for a tackle. So I think Joe will be there. And if they see him as the guy, and every single mock I've seen from reporter seems to have him as the guy that we're going to go for, then if he's still on the board, I don't see us moving back unless we get a ridiculous offer. But I said this before, certainly in our group chat, maybe on this podcast, I can't actually remember. I would love Malik Nabers. I think he is someone who could be an unbelievable talent in this league. We've never had a wide receiver. I mean, obviously, AJ aside, our wide receiver history, we all know, is pretty tarnished and not great, let's be honest. I think he is someone that if we brought him in, if he was there at 7, I don't think he will be. But if he was there at 7, I would bite the bullet. And he'd be probably the only player. Harrison, I think, will be gone by then. It does depend on how many QBs get taken before us to decide if he is going to be there or not. I'd be surprised if he was. I think if everyone stays and there isn't any movement, I can't see him or Harrison being available. But if there is movement and someone does bite and try and get their QB of the future and it opens up the door to bring him in, I don't think I could say no to it. Because also, based on everything I read at the moment, Bill Callahan's already fixed this O-line. Seems like O-line's not a problem anymore to a lot of Titans fans on Twitter. Seems like now Bill's here, he's gonna make Raiders an All-Pros. I look forward to it.
I think the pick will indicate how much faith Callahan has in his dad and how much autonomy Ran's giving Callahan as well. If it's a wide receiver, I think that's a definite tell that this is a sort of, what did they say when they appointed Callahan?
That could work both ways though, right? Because it could work in his favour where he's like, you know what, I want to go and get an elite tackle,
yeah,
whoever that might be, because we know this line is a massive issue. I mean, you just got to look at the last 2 or 3 years. Even when we were number one seed in the AFC, we still had a pretty poor line, let's be honest.
I was trying to call back to the hunting together line when they were sort of passive-aggressively having a dig at Rabel. I just can't remember exactly what they said.
Yeah, no, and it's fair. I think it's 100% fair. I just think if Neighbours is there at 7, I know he didn't seem particularly convinced that the Titans is where he wanted to go, but he'll come around to it, I'm sure. But if he's there at seven, or even Harrison by some miracle, I don't think they're the two that you can't, I don't think you can turn down, even for if Joel lives up to his hype and becomes an all-pro left tackle. I still think, you know, people will want something a bit different. And this team is definitely doing things in a different way. I made a joke earlier about having an early night on a draft night for the first time in, God, feels like quite a few years. I don't think trading back is impossible, and that could end up being a much later night. But I think it's only going to happen if Alt, Neighbours and Harrison are all off the board, and I don't see three of the first six picks going in that direction, let's be honest.
No, I think everybody needs good Neighbours. And to shout out the double B, I think Brock Bowers is another one of them names where there are certain players in this draft that... what I'm doing is, as a Titans fan, I'm doing that thing of I'm preparing for all situations. And I didn't do this when AJ Brown got traded away, so I didn't even prepare for that. So I feel like even now that's something that we have to do. But if we come away with all great, in my head, that's what we're doing. But then if we came away with one of these receivers that you see, I mean... Like you said, if Harrison's there, from everything I've seen at Harrison at college level, you can't not take him. But then, like you said, with the offensive line, is it do you protect Levis as much as you can, or do you give Levis all the weapons in the world? Because the team are clearly showing that they're behind Levis. Levis is the answer. We don't need a QB. So do you surround him by weapons, or do you try and protect him more, which is almost the impossible sort of decision. Like, you can give him Ridley, Hopkins, and another one of these receivers. Like, the idea of having Ridley, Hopkins, and Neighbours, or... Personally, I love Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers is going to be one of these tight ends that we're going to hear about for years to come. There's no guarantees in the draft, as we've seen with players that we've picked up. But I guess for you, Neil, if we don't go offensive tackle... Is it a mistake, or is it something that it's impossible to know at this point? Because at the end of the day, you are just picking a name at a number, and it's how they actually perform on the day, as it were.
I think there's a lot to be said for helping protection by having wide receivers that can get open, which is not something that we've not had since we lost AJ. Ever. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins sort of... Yeah, ever. And sort of DeAndre Hopkins had a great season last season, but that's kind of not how he wins. He sort of wins with his physicality and his reach and his ability to jump higher than his opposite corner, do you know what I mean? And I think, obviously, we've got Calvin Ridley, and to add two wide receivers or another wide receiver that could separate would, in effect, by proxy, help the protection. So I'm not necessarily sure that it would be a mistake to not draft a tackle, but also... You've got to think we get 6-7 weeks into the season and we've got a scrub left tackle that's getting absolutely beat like a rented donkey every snap.
Then, yeah, Green Bay have got him now.
Yeah, and the pressure then is on that guy that we did choose.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, you look at... you look at what we've already picked up. Actually, tell you what, Greg, you jump in what you're going to say, because I'm going to move on to like the needs, which there's still plenty on that team, but what were you going to say?
No, sorry. The only thing I was going to say was around wide receiver. I do think it's quite a deep class in the wide receiver ranks. I think there's a lot of talent in this draft. So the only two players I see us taking at wide receiver with that pick number 7, or whether we trade out of it. Yeah, the only two that they're going to not take a tackle for, I see being Neighbours and Harrison, because there is... definitely opportunities in the second round for guys that are ranked a bit lower. Looking at Mitchell from Texas, I think it is. I actually quite like Ladd McConkey as well from Georgia, another one who probably a bit more of a slot receiver. But to be honest with you, I don't think that's the worst thing for us right now. But if they do go Neighbours or they do go Harrison and that opportunity comes up and they take it, I think we can probably kiss goodbye to Treylon Burks. I don't think he's... I mean, that's pretty much... the end of his career with us. I mean, that guy, we all know that should be performing better than what we've seen from him. And for him to be essentially a wide receiver 4 at that point is, yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being moved on, if anything. Because we've still got other players in that position, like Phillips, like Westbrook Akina, and But I still think tackle is the predictable route, and if they win it, I wouldn't be disappointed. Because that line has been so bad for so long, I really wouldn't be able to blame them. But the trade back is one thing I just quite want to talk about, because I agree, Neil, you made the point earlier around teams that are looking to jump in. And above us, there are a couple of teams that I see that I can see trading out. I know New England have talked about it a little bit.
Yep.
I think Arizona talked about it a little bit. Maybe even the Chargers. But go on, Miles.
I was going to say, I can see a team like the Chargers. Chargers who so obviously need a receiver, but in such a heavily stacked receiver draft, I can see Chargers being one of them teams that come out. Yeah.
And they are rebuilding again, aren't they, really?
Exactly. With Harbaugh in, though, is Harbaugh going to want to be that person that's like, right, okay, we're going to be on a complete rebuild and show it? So obviously, I think the Patriots so desperately need a QB again. They've brought in Brissett on a one-year deal. So he's on a one-year deal. It's very obvious that he's in there to sort of steady the ship while a rookie comes in. And we know where Chicago and Washington both stand. So if you're looking at the needs of the Titans, I think there is opportunity to come out of it. But is that realistic? Well, it's so obvious that we need an offensive tackle. We've spoke about it on the podcast for the past 2 to 3 years now that offensive tackle is a need. We now have that coach in there that could coach these guys who have we've seen the Isaiah Wilsons and we've seen these others come in where they have all this potential and whatever's going on outside of the league and everything else. Coaching, we've said fundamentally, has been a problem at the Titans. You now have who is known as the best offensive lineman coach in the league. Does it not make sense to give them the best opportunity to coach up the most talented players, and especially players that have come from, you know, colleges where they're coming up again? It's not just like the guys that are out of nowhere that have potential. Like, there's a reason that Joel is so highly ranked. But when you look at the second and third round for the Titans, what is the next like big need? Like, people are saying that we need another defensive tackle, but then cornerback is obviously an issue. Like, Fulton's gone, Murphy Bunting's gone. Obviously, we brought in Awuzie for the Bengals, and obviously Legarius Sneed. Sorry, where do you see needing to be our big sort of next step with the second and third round there, Neil?
Well, I think we need pass rush, but I look at the sort of top end of that class, that pass rush class, and most of them are a reach at 7. So you're going down into second and third rounds and looking at like Braylon Trice, Darius Robinson, Chop Roy. I don't think there's a game changer at that position, and that might be a case of putting a pin in it and leaving it till next time, and sort of trying to get by with what we've got. I'd be tempted not to go near corner either, because I think the top three are locked in, and I know you can't legislate for injuries. But there's not a lot of snaps to go around there if those three guys stay healthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not expecting a corner. I'm not expecting a corner to come off early now. Now we've done what the business we've done, I'd be very surprised if we did. But I agree with you at pass rush. I think Autry his production will be a massive miss for us this year. And if we don't kind of plug that gap, it could be a problem, but I agree that second and third round makes more sense to do that. I still think if we go tackle first round, they probably will go wide receiver second, and we don't have a third. So then you are into the dregs, realistically. By the time you get to the fourth round, you're not getting any elite talent necessarily. I mean, we all know that this is a crapshoot. We've talked about this many times before, but you are definitely going to be taking much more of a punt on it. But I think there's going to be some twists and turns this week. I think losing that third and not having the third, I can definitely see, you know, depending on what we do, maybe even trading back in that second round, getting a later pick in the second round, and then to try and accumulate something in a third or a fourth, and then using that capital to try and get back into the third. I don't know. I think there'll be some wheeling and dealing going on, not necessarily with pick 7, but outside of that.
Especially if some players fall out of the first as well. Because we're obviously high enough in the second to be sort of attractive for teams that want to get there.
Exactly, yeah. And we ended up doing last year, the opposite, right? Traded up to get Levis early in the second. So I think there's every chance this year we might go the other direction and give up, is it 38, whatever it is?
Yeah, 38.
Give up that pick and you know, take one maybe in the 40s or 50s and add a fourth or maybe even a third if we're lucky, depending on how desperate someone is. So I think there's every chance that business will get done and there'll be a lot of chopping and changing. I don't think we'll have no trades whatsoever. I'll be surprised if we do trade out of seven, unless, like I mentioned earlier, those three players are off the board, which is highly unlikely.
I think seven's a good spot because we're sort of in a sweet spot where with that seventh pick, there's no question marks over Levis. Like, we're not in a situation like Chicago where we're number one overall pick and Justin Fields already in situ. But also at seven, you're in a position where if somebody fancies a player, they might come with an offer. I think we've ended up in a... I wouldn't swap seven for like four or five just because of our sort of current situation. You just don't want that noise around Levis where we're in target of a QB.
I think we are actually
in a quite good spot.
I can definitely see the Vikings seeing how the round plays out, seeing how many QBs go. If Harrison and Neighbors both go in that top six, you know, there could easily be a quarterback at seven and they think, you know what, we might be able to get more value on their side.
You look at the teams after us, though. It's the Falcons, the Bears, and then the Jets before the Vikings would then pick. The Vikings don't need to jump ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Bears are going to pick Williams and Atlanta have just paid Cousins that money. There's no point in Minnesota jumping up them spots because none of them three teams are going to pick a quarterback.
I don't think it's impossible for the Jets.
Maybe not, but can you...
I don't think it's impossible for Falcons.
I know he's older. But
they're expecting a few years out of Cousins yet still, aren't
they? That's a bad injury as well, wasn't it, Achilles?
Yeah, for sure. I can't see the Vikings looking at us and going, we need that seventh pick for what they'd probably have to give up to move up them spots. Mm.
There's always whispers that go around on draft night, though, right? I mean, there's always, and I think a lot of teams will sometimes pull the trigger just to avoid any, you know, missing out on their man, even if they don't think it might happen. I'm pretty sure that's what we did with Levis. If you look at last year, I don't think there was... I could have seen Levis dropping further down in that second round or maybe even third round, a bit like what happened with Willis in the end. Not because he's of his talent, just on the way it worked out on the night. But there's every chance we ended up jumping up to avoid losing out on him because we felt clearly that pick was, or giving up what we gave up to get him was value. But we've got to go and like make Will Levis's career a lot easier in this draft, and whether that's tackle or receiver, and I think both of them do that job. They're the two that we've got to go and get that right, because there's a lot of whispers around Levis. No one really rates him outside of the Titans fans. Everyone sees him as, I mean, you see all these ridiculous rankings from mostly bookies in the US. I'm speaking to you, Fandral, on this one, where you're ranking Levis sort of lower than a guy who's never even played in the league. So I think, you know, going and helping him and building this offense, because there's no doubt this offense this year could be really, really exciting with what we're hearing from Callahan and how we're going to change the way we play. I think it's you've got to go and protect him, or you've got to go and give him an elite weapon, which I would love to see. I really would love to see us go and get a Jefferson or someone of that sort of caliber, obviously not literally, but someone of that sort of level of talent would be so fun to watch.
Well, that's what people are talking about, Neighbors and others. They're talking about level. The wide receiver draft this year is apparently the highlight. Xavier Worthy, who I think is the speedster in this draft, who's a lighter body, but I think I'd love the idea of a weapon like him there for Levis when you've got Ridley and you've got Hopkins, to add someone like him into the frame that's someone that's going to take the top off and, you know, cause a lot of trouble. I think that's the sort of play we look at. I mean, it's a scary question to ask, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Are we gonna be in a position again where we find that we're losing any players? And are there any players that you could actually see in terms of being traded away for potential players? Do we think Burks is gonna be a trade target for anyone? Do we think there's anyone else on the team, Neil, who might who might be that option for another team. Obviously, we had the whole that guy in Philadelphia situation. Are we worried about anything else like that
nah,
coming up?
I think they'd be open to moving Burks, if I'm honest. I think they definitely would be open to it if they could recoup something back for him, but I don't think it's what us and a lot of other Titans analysts that I read and listen to would expect. It'll be a sixth or a seventh round pick, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, it's Burks has now had his chance, and I think, like you said, he's fallen further and further down the pecking order. I think because of the signing of Snead and Ridley, which has been different to other years, where we've thrown a lot of money at two big names in the free agency. Are you worried, Greg, about any scenario like that, or any can you see anyone coming in of similar ilk where we'd be looking elsewhere like that, or do you think it's fully just, well, the draft isn't impossible, like anything can happen?
I don't the money we paid for Ridley when it was announced, I think a lot of people were surprised by. I think the way it's been structured, there's kind of a get out after 2 years. I think that helps stomach that price. But also that price just seems to be getting better and better. I mean, you look at St. Brown just got his payday. Yeah. So all of a sudden he's gonna end up being, you know, well down the pecking order in terms of top paid wide receivers. So I think getting that done and done early will benefit us in the long run, because the prices, and I've just seen that that Sewell has also just been paid by the Lions, a 4-year deal, $112 million, like largest ever for an offensive lineman. So again, you're going to be in a situation where, you know, not that we've got any offensive linemen that are worth paying, but there's teams now that have got to go and, you know, the wide receivers especially, there's teams like Dallas have got to go and pay Lamb, that he's going to demand ridiculous money. You'll want to be number one. Jefferson, same with the Vikings. So the way I see it is, I think that Ridley deal will just look better and better. I just, on the trailing Burks thing I mentioned about him being traded earlier, I just don't think there's going to be enough value for, like, he's still on a rookie deal. He's still on a pretty cheap deal. I just don't think, you know, you're not going to get enough to make it worth your while letting him walk out the door, realistically. And also with this new scheme and the, you know, we're going to be a very, very different offense. I'm actually quite excited to see what he could do. Like, could he end up just salvaging his career? I'm not saying he's ever going to be that first round pick that he was, but if he goes and becomes a, I don't know, 750 yards receiver, I'd be pretty delighted, to be honest.
I think Miles obviously touched on that he's sort of had his chance, which I don't necessarily agree with, because he's had a lot of injuries. Where our fallback with Treylon Burks is, it just don't look like he's a football player. Like Caleb Farley, for instance, another example a couple of years ago. You look at him on the field and he just does not look at all on that NFL field. Do you know what I mean? Burks, I think his athletic ability and his speed and size is all there. I just don't think it's in between his ears.
Apparently there's an attitude problem. Is the whispering? It's the lack of
wanting
to try. He
doesn't seem like that kind
of
guy, does he? But for me, it just seems to be sort of mistake prone and like not as explosive as he should be.
When he's on the field, he's not getting the ball, and it's not through, like, not that we're trying to force it to him, but when he's on the field, it's almost like, oh look, there's Burks. Like, it's that level of, which shouldn't be the case for someone of his stature, like his size. Like you were saying, they were saying he was a like for AJ Brown when he came out of the draft. When you see AJ Brown on the field, you know where he is at all times. He's physically the dominating. You can tell where he is. You don't get that with Burks. He doesn't come across as that player.
I think
that was a compliment to Treylon Burks, but also a massive undervaluing of Jaylen Brown. AJ Brown as well. I got my Boston Celtics head on there.
I don't think with Burks, it's the scheme helps him offensively. Like this Titans team for years have been very much, you know, just feed it down someone you trust throat, whether that's running the ball with Derrick Henry or just keep throwing it to AJ Brown. Or last year it was a case of just keep throwing it to Hopkins. Then you've got those kind of guys that you trust but don't have the talent to be elite, but they can do a job like your Westbrook Akinas. So it's, if you're not in that side of the fence of, you can be trusted just to go and get, I don't know, 500 yards a year to whatever And or you're not at the other level of Hopkins, where it's like just keep giving him the ball, keep throwing it in his direction because he'll make plays, then you are kind of nowhere. You're on an island on your own, and you've got, and this is there's a few receivers in this team. I mean, talk about Kyle Phillips is another really good example. He's not trusted, wasn't trusted in the previous regime. It'd be great to be able to see those guys just go and, you know, we're going to air it out a lot more this year. We know that. So I'd love to go and see those guys just go and make some plays. And because there's no doubt they've got talent. It's just, they just need a little bit of confidence.
Surely they've got to be sort of looking forward to the opportunity of being on the same field as Hopkins and Ridley. You know, sort of, there's nobody keying in on anybody now other than those two guys. So you would imagine rest of the group of wide receivers will be looking forward to seeing that ball spread around a bit more.
Someone like a Kyle Phillips should really be looking at like what Humphreys brought to us when he played with us a few years ago. Like, yeah, again, he's not getting massive chunks of yards. He plays in the slot, but he would there'd be big plays that he'd make. Mm. There was the touchdown, I remember, was it Casey, I think? Might be wrong with who it was against, but you know, there were big moments that he just came out for. And that's exactly what you want to see from those guys. It's just, you know, all right, yeah, you're not gonna get targeted 15 times a game. You might only get targeted 4 or 5, but go and make 3 or 4 catches out of those, and you might get it more. So it's gonna be really interesting.
You need that guy you can trust to make a big play, because I think in big moments over the last few years, Nick Westbrook's been put in that situation and come up short. I think we need to find that guy, that third or fourth wide receiver who, on big downs, when everybody's locked up, it can make that sort of big play that'll move the chains or win us a game. And whether it's on the roster now or whether it's one of these guys that we're going to draft, I don't know, but we need to find that third option, I think.
Just want to make one comment, Miles. Sorry, mate, before we move on. Just on Bowers. So I've watched quite a lot of Bowers in college, and he does look like, you know, the Kelsey, the Kittles, the elite tight ends that are in this league. But so did Kyle Pitts. So I think if whoever spends their first round pick on a Bowers, if I can see it being a team that, you know, doesn't have a massive obvious need. I can see it being someone who just goes in and says, you know what, this guy could be absolute. I don't think there'll be teams that reach for him. It'll probably be like a mid first round pick. He's one of those ones that, you know, he could very much become the next Kelsey, the next Kittle, and so on and so forth. But I think it's, yeah, for us with the needs we've got, yeah, we haven't got the luxury of going and just being like, you know what, he's the best player that's available to us right now, regardless of position. Let's go.
I think there's more to come from Josh Wiley as well, Greg.
Yeah, it's up quite a bit, apparently. I was reading some of it. He's put on quite a bit of weight over the...
He's one of them guys that looks good in pads. We haven't seen a lot from him football-wise, but every time he's dressed and made a catch, I thought, yeah, that looks like a big elite tight end.
Just kept getting injured, didn't he? He just couldn't stay healthy, which is massively frustrating. You can say the same for a lot of them. But
he's got that profile, that hybrid wide receiver tight end profile. We just haven't seen a lot of it yet.
Yeah. I mean, if Chicks learned how to catch a ball this offseason, the amount of times he was getting open and opportunities last year, if he caught half the balls that he was getting his way, we could be getting another. I remember when we had Julio Jones.
It's unreal after catch.
Oh, listen, Julio Jones and other things we've always said, well, listen, defenses are going to have to scheme for so many. If you've got a scheme for Hopkins, you've got a scheme for Ridley, you've got to take into account the other players. Like you said, Westbrook Akeem has been that safety blanket over the past couple of years. And more often than not, he's made the catch that's got us into a good position, but it's not been incredible plays. It's not been, he has been that safety blanket role. And like you said, there's an opportunity there in a heavy wide receiver draft to find that missing piece. And if it means that Burks and others are getting covered up by, you know, the third string cornerback or elsewhere, or they get picked up elsewhere, who knows? Like you said, maybe they can become that player that while we're not paying them, that they can get the yards that we need to be a piece. And with regards to the team, with its other needs, is there any glaringly obvious position, Greg, that you think, if we were to make a sort of decision that, let's say, round, I mean, we've got a fourth and a fifth, we're 106 and 146. Is there any particular, I mean, I'm going to bang on about linebacker till the day I die. I feel like obviously we have no idea what to expect out of the guy from the Chargers, whose name is Kenneth Murray. Obviously, we've lost Al-Shaair.
It's over, Kenny.
He got plenty of tackles. But is Murray going to be the one to come in and step up? Or there's not many linebackers in this draft. I had a little look down, and there's no one jumping out that's like, yeah, let's go get that guy. But are there any other positions that particularly worry? Obviously, we're all good at long snapper.
Yeah, I think we're comfortable there. It'd be interesting to see what we do with punter, because it sounds like Stonehouse's injury is pretty bad, so it doesn't even sound like he's going to be ready for the start of the year. I know we've got Zentner, whatever his name is, but no, look, just in terms of glaring, sort of, I agree with what Neil said earlier. I think defensive line pass rush is definitely an area of the team at the moment that I feel like we've lost some talent and need to try and fill. The guy from Texas, Sweat, who I think might fall down the draft boards after being arrested for DUI or whatever it was. I think if he's available in that, maybe later in that second round, if we do end up trading back, I know we don't have that third round pick, which is a bit of a killer for this because I think it'll be gone before then. But I think he's definitely someone, I think, big body, real talent, no doubt about that. Bit of a monster, but he's definitely someone I think I would love to see us maybe go in for. Maybe not with 38. It might be a bit of a reach potentially, but I mean, it probably prior to his arrest, I think he probably would have been gone around that time anyway. So he's definitely one. Safety is another one. I still think we're maybe a player or two short in. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how we line up in that part of the field this year. Obviously, there's players that we've had for a few years now, yeah, who play there, but there's a few guys that we've also lost this offseason from that position. So that's definitely going to be one I can see maybe later in the fourth or fifth round. Someone I think could be available there as a bit of a depth piece at safety. But I'd be really intrigued to see. I last year was the first one that Rand did, and there was a fair few surprises, right? We were all slating the Spears pick at the time because we wanted to have a wide receiver. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did go rogue and went a bit, you know, with a pick that maybe he just thinks, you know what, that player is too good to be in the fourth round and he will help us. Maybe not the number one position in need right now, but he will help us. There's every chance that they'll go in that direction. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Nothing's off the table this year, which I think under Robinson, you could kind of predict most of the time what he was going to do. With Ran and with this sort of staff, I generally think anything could be on the table.
Neil,
I think we'll actually acquire a linebacker because I don't believe for 1 minute that a fifth or sixth round linebacker is going to be starting alongside Kerif Money, wearing the dot, calling out players. I don't see that scenario.
I can see whatsoever. Dr. Gibbons, I mean, he's probably... He's had a year. Obviously, I know this is going to be a different defense this year, so maybe not, but it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up being...
I think this could be an August thing with linebacker. For me personally, I think it could be when somebody else cuts somebody, or I think it'll be a keep ears to ground and try and add a veteran depth. Safety, I agree. I just, overall, to just sort of put a bow on what I feel about the draft as a whole... I just want speed. I want speed. I want us to play faster. I want us to play more modern. Whatever position it is, I just want us to add speed and aggressiveness. I don't want to see slow, dated dinosaur titans anymore. Do you know what I mean? I just want to see us play faster, and I just want us to look for players that can just add some juice. Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
I really do not think you look at the staff acquisitions they've made, you know, Wilson, a defensive coordinator, being a kind of defensive back coach. I can just see that's what they'll look for, speed.
Yeah.
And
I think
Snead's pickup for me was a fine example of that. Someone who is a lockdown corner. Yes, you've paid a lot of money to get him there, but you know what? I think if he plays anything like he has for the last 2-3 years, it'll be worth every penny.
And what we'll say is if we could Joe Alt in the Joe Alt direction, and we have Joe Alt Skoronski and Lloyd Cushenberry, and it's still bad. Get ready. Jeez. Just get ready
It can't. Don't worry, we've got Bill. Bill's gonna fix it.
Yeah, that's right. That adds another element to that whole puzzle, if you know what I mean. If we've got Bill Callahan, Joel Skoronski, and Lloyd Cushenberry, and it's still bad, oof. Twitter's gonna be an absolute bin fire.
The right hand side though is not quite settled, I should say.
No.
Which is a slight concern.
But, Bill can play right tackle, it's fine. Yeah. Before I give you a little bit of a Titans draft quiz, which, to be fully clear, I've not done myself. Greg, give me the situation that's not going to happen, but you think would be the most Titans thing of what could happen. Give me something that's just out there. We're talking AJ Brown getting traded away level. Give everyone a prediction for if something crazy happens, and then it's, well, you heard it here first.
It's a tough one. I mean, I can definitely see us being on the clock and trading back quite far for multiple ones in the future or something. But I don't know. I don't think that's quite as crazy. I mean, I can come up with something just completely unrealistic. I've got no problem with that whatsoever.
Neither have I. To be clear, for full disclosure, I guess is there anything else that you're particularly looking forward to with the draft before, like I said, to put a bow on this draft? Is there anything that you're looking forward to?
My scenario is drafting a tackle at 7, but it's not Joe Alt. That'd be so Titans. JC Latham or somebody like that. Massive reach because Rams got a boner for him.
I think Olu is one that, so Fashanu is one player that I wouldn't like him at 7, but I do like him as a player, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He feels like at 7, it's like a, if Joe Alt is there especially, but I don't know, maybe that's just me getting into the hype of everything I keep seeing around Joe Alt at the moment. Because the stuff I've read is almost like it's Joe Alt, massive gap, and then the rest, which I'm not sure.
There is like sort of 6 or 7 tackles with first round grades, though, really, when you look down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It is a deep tackle draft by the looks of things.
I think if we were to trade back to, I don't know, mid teens with a team, I don't know, whoever that, this is very much not looking at the list of who might look to trade up, but if we were to trade back, I mean, I wouldn't hate someone like Fashanu at pick 15, 16 or something along those lines. If we ended up getting a, I don't know, another 2 or future 1 or something like that. Not against that at all. But I just don't, if Joe Alt's there, it seems like it's highly unlikely to be anyone else, which kind of makes it a bit boring and potentially predictable. But then again, this is the Titans. We could easily go and shock the world with a pick that no one thought.
Right. Well, I think we're all of agreement that we think and maybe hope that Titans should go boring and just go for all and then win the Super Bowl next year. And, you know, it's as easy as that, really.
I mean, Neil's not, by the way. Neil is 100% against
Neil,
that.
Are you any happier now that we've had a discussion?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, if we'd not signed Calvin Ridley, I'd probably be standing on this desk and wouldn't be like, well, fuck desk, to be fair, but I'd be banging drum for a wide receiver. But obviously, Calvin Ridley's sort of eased those sort of concerns. As such, I still think we're to round out as attack and to sort of put a stamp on his new identity. I don't think another guy had hurt, but deep down, I don't think it will be a wide receiver at 7.
Just one question, sorry, Miles.
No.
We're in a bit of a weird situation with quarterbacks where you've got Levis, who is the man. You've got Willis, who is very much not the man and could easily be a camp cut, let's be honest. If there is a QB that they actually quite like the look of in the fourth, do you see something like that potentially happening where they think, you know what, a bit of insurance, someone can go and try and develop. If it doesn't work out with Levis, we might have someone in the building. Because, I mean, clearly Willis is not that guy. Rudolph is not that guy. So it'd be interesting to see whether that ends up being, because you always see, you know, QBs that drop quite as soon as those first 5 top QBs that everyone gets in the first round go. There's always one or two guys that drop quite far. Whether they're any good or not is another thing.
If we come away with Bolt Nicks, I'm rioting.
I think he'll be gone, but...
At seven, Bo Nix, I'm guaranteed would still be
no,
there.
not a seven. I'm talking later, fourth round. I thought we're talking
super crazy. Yeah,
Bo Nix. No. I'm talking like if we get to, I don't know, fourth. I mean, we've got a third round pick, so let's just say fourth round, and there's like a QB that they think, you know what, for a fourth round pick, that's value.
I was just having a look through, actually, at who was available.
Spencer Rattler to the Titans. You
heard no.
Joe Milton of Tennessee, isn't it?
No. I mean, he's got a hell of an arm, but he can't throw it in any particular direction most of the time.
I think he's...
And I'm a Vols fan.
Is he the tallest QB in this draft available at the moment? I believe so. He probably is at 6'5". Right. So the Titans are going to draft well. We've got nothing to worry about, guys. Don't worry. We're keeping all our main players. No one's going anywhere. We're all happy days. Just to round off the early bit that we mentioned, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Kool-Aid is not his real name.
That is pathetic.
But his name is...
I really want it to be.
It's Gakwincy. So his name is Gakwincy McKinstry.
Yeah.
Why would you add Kool-Aid?
Yeah, that's better.
This right.
It's an international cap. It'll be for Scotland, won't it?
Yeah. Right. Last time, Titans picked each position in the first round. So, who was the last QB that we drafted in the first round?
Mariota.
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
Excellent. Running back?
CJ.
CJ2K. Team effort, by the way. There's no actual toaster.
There's no points. That's right.
There's no points and there's definitely no prizes, especially for anyone listening. Wide receiver.
Oh, what I call him? Mr. Average.
Traylon Burks is correct.
No, I was going to say Corey Davis. I forgot about Traylon Burks.
That's not the same. And we've only been talking about him for the last half hour.
Yeah.
tight end.
In the first round.
By the way, there is also an option, hint.
Boskiff.
No, we've never done it. We've never drafted a tight end in the first round.
I was going to say, I couldn't think of one.
Boskiff or an high draft pick, though, wasn't it? Second round.
I don't have the answers you need for that. Offensive tackle.
Jesus, Luan. Every year.
Mr.
I'm going to go Skoronski. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can say he's a tackle.
He's a guard. Like,
but... According to the website I'm using, offensive guard.
John Swarmack.
Skoronski. Yes. Warmack. Thank you, Greg. defensive end. My favorite character on Criminal Minds. That's a deep cut. Out of Georgia Tech.
Derek Williams.
Close. Derek's right.
Derek Morgan.
Correct.
Oh, of course.
Defensive tackle out of Mississippi State.
Superb, Jeff Simmons.
Si, senor. Linebacker out of Alabama.
Rashawn Evans.
Yes.
Oh, God. Forgot about him.
Cornerback out of Virginia Tech.
Farley.
Caleb Farley.
To round off, a safety out of Texas.
Michael Griffin.
Yes, in 2007. Going from Michael Griffin and then Chris Johnson back-to-back years.
Michael Griffin were good. It was just really, really expensive. I remember him being like a solid player, but we were paying him like he was best safety in NFL.
And thus conclude the quiz. I mean, Jeff technically as well, I guess.
Draft quiz.
Before we go into the wonderful world of non-Titans, did we have any other business with regards to the Titans? Feel free to stay silent and we'll move on nicely with a...
No, there was one thing I was going to mention was around Caleb Farley. Because I see I saw photos on, I think it was on Twitter, of him in camp, and he's definitely one. I know he's had horrendous, both personally as well as from a career perspective and injury wise. It's not been a great few years for him. But I'm at that stage now where I'm not even angry about the fact we spent the pick on him. I'm at that point where I kind of just want to root for him. Just be like, I'd love to see him just carve some sort of role out in this team. Where even if it ends up just being special teams or ends up being, you know, he's never going to be that main corner, let's be honest. But yeah, I'd love to see him just come and not prove everyone wrong, because people are still going to sit there and throw the he was a first round pick at his face, but not to get cut before because he's a cheap option at the moment being on his rookie deal, but not to get cut and then having a role in this team. I'd love to see that.
I think what's going in his favour is tall. He's a different option. I mean, there's a lot of, obviously, there's any tall corner that can play nowadays pretty much makes a roster.
I think Snead's going to make this team profile on defense a lot better.
Sort of a more professional way of saying that.
Yeah, but having Snead there is no one that Snead's got. I mean, Snead could stop a moving double decker on its feet. Like Snead is going to cover that middle, but also the outside so well. Like, I decided to do the classic thing when it's the same thing as when Oxford sign a player. I'll go on YouTube and look at the highlights, and you can make anyone look incredible. But even with Snead's highlights, where it's easy to make anyone look incredible, Snead is just like worlds apart from any corner that we've had for a while, and he should make the rest of the guys better. And I think it's a great opportunity actually for them to really step up and have a chance to not be. It's not their job to be the guy. They're a team player in this situation now, and there's less pressure on them. But we can see if that works. Did you have anything, Neil, before we go into?
I've watched a lot of the OTP stuff around the free agent signings and stuff like that. And to be honest, they were all sort of pretty impressive. You know, that cliche in English football when we say, oh, he speaks well. Well, they all spoke well. Chidiwuze, like, sort of, were very sort of self-confident, but in an endearing way, where they were saying, I've come here to be a number one corner, and do you know what I mean? And things like, I've come here to be a leader, blah, 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 blah. And even Kenneth Murray, like, I mean, he seemed like an interesting, quirky guy, do you know what I mean? I think, like, I mean, I hated, like, sort of John Robinson's sort of fetish for drafting character guys. But then I've seen all these guys speak, and I think, yeah, it seems like they've got a type, if you get what I mean.
I was going to say with Murray, actually, Murray hits the level of, whenever I watched him play, he looks good in pads, but then he didn't do anything. He's the opposite of what you were saying, where he looks the business, he looks an intimidating force in that middle. It's just whether or not he can.
I think, like, the way we're talking when Mike Heath interviewed him is that he was sort of attracted by the more simplified role.
Yeah. I think
with the
Chargers, he's had to be surrounded by people like Mack and Bolger and stuff, and that linebacker group has always been a bit hit and miss all over the show. So, like you said, I think a simplified defense, just go stop the ball. Third down, just don't give them away stupid plays, and, you know, we move on and live to fight another day. I've realised there is a final thing I wanted to mention with draft, and I have to get it off my chest because I know how much it angers everyone, especially Adam. I will be watching the NFL draft on the Pat McAfee show this year because he has Bill Belichick on there, and I'm more interested in hearing Bill Belichick talk about the draft and everything that's going on than anyone else. Do you guys use the UK or US coverage?
I just watch it on Sky, but which is the US coverage.
Okay. It's like Neil Reynolds there, though?
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's just NFL Network. But hold on, is it actually going to be Belichick, or is it going to be like Belichick's dog?
It's actually Bill Belichick. I'm not even ashamed to admit it anymore. I love watching the Pat McAfee show every day. And he is on for the full thing. He's got his full book of his full draft profile of every single person. Bill Belichick has something to say about them. Generally interested by, and the sort of guests that, because the guests they're getting on now, they've got that big, whether or not you hate the guy, which I still sort of hate the guy, but the people that he gets on that show, it's worth a watch.
I miss Mike Mayock. I used to love Mike Mayock, to be honest. I know he's a bit everybody's cup of tea, but I think, like, and I like Daniel Jeremiah as well, but I just think a lot of guys that NFL Network have got on are a bit cookie cutter.
Mm.
I just watched Sky coverage.
Excellent. Well, I'll be watching on delay, so I look forward to hearing who we get 30 seconds before it actually gets announced.
Don't go on Twitter, you find out about 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Rich Eisen, so I quite like watching the NFL Network. I don't mind it too much. I agree with you. No, there's a few on there that are a bit like give or take, but I quite enjoy watching Rich Eisen.
I'd quite like the Around the NFL podcast guys just doing it. I'd love them to just do a laughing and just listen to them guys do it. But anyway, on to more important news, non-Titans. I'm going to get mine out of the way because mine's quite serious. Lurpak Botta. I know. I apologise for lowering the tone too early and getting too serious with it straight away, but Lurpak Botta is advertised as spreadable. That thing don't spread. Which could be a line to a rap song, actually. I've just thought of off the top of my head. And I've demolished many a sliced piece of bread while trying to make myself a sandwich of Lurpak Botta, regardless of it tasting better. You can, and I mentioned this actually to my partner yesterday, to which her response was, "You're meant to leave it out the fridge for 5 minutes and then use it." In no situation is that the result of what you should do with butter. You should be able to take it out the fridge and spread it. So Lurpak, do better.
I was just going to say my missus spreads it, but that's not really listen, way to start a conversation.
Humble brag.
But she sort of warms the knife up, essentially.
Now listen.
She hacks away at the butter for a bit until the knife's warm enough for it to spread.
If I'm getting up first thing in the morning, I haven't got time to be heating up knives. And the obvious
no, but she does it
just
through friction. She's good with friction.
I'm just going to say, this is innuendo central going on here. What is going on?
We have the title of the podcast, I'm sure.
I just end up with holes in my bread.
Listen, I'm the exact same. And that's what it fundamentally came down to. My sandwiches have holes in, and there's ingredients coming out of anywhere. Not that I'm too fancy of it, but yeah, Lurpak Botta is literally advertised as spreadable, and that thing don't spread. Neil, after the delightful news that your your knives are heated with friction, what is your non-Titans for us?
My non-Titans, it doesn't really need any debate. It's more of just a statement, really. But have you seen them grown men traipsing around London dressed as Knight Templars? This could lead into politics and things like that, but what is that all about? What has possessed them on St. George's Day to, you know, dress as a Knight Templar and traipse through streets of London waving a George Cross? If I decided to dress up as Luke Skywalker or Jabba the Hutt or somebody like that, they'd be calling me I'm not going to say it because Adam's going to have to edit it.
I can make a note.
They'll be calling me one of them.
I hadn't seen it, but you have just reminded me of a little shout out. So, did you see all the people that dressed up as Kurt Zuma for a stag do?
I'm a cat guy, though.
But it still made me laugh, man. I listen, I'm a cat guy, but someone decided, you know what we should do as a stag do? Goes Kurt Zuma.
Best ever, were it? Stag do related is when all them guys dressed as Toy Story characters. somebody shouted, "Andy's coming," and they all fell to floor. Just go on TikTok and type in "Andy's coming," and it's brilliant.
It's the one thing that gets me into definitely wanting to go to cricket with Greg and Adam, not just for the fact that obviously I'd be with Greg and Adam and I'm assuming some form of alcohol, that whenever I watch the highlights of the cricket and people do fancy dress and they're all dancing around at the bottom of stuff. I remember it was... Oh, what was it? They wanted the ball back and someone's dressed as Jesus or whatever. And it's just this. And again, another thing to watch, it's just fancy dress at sporting events. There you go.
T20 finals day is honestly, it's the longest day in the world. And if you peak too soon, you're not making the final. So it's, but yeah, you have to strategically drink throughout the day. But it's good fun, especially if the weather's nice.
I've always wanted to do fancy dress as wrestlers, but never, ever done it, which is bizarre.
Me and you have got Kurt Angle in our locker. We just need to shave our beards and we'll be fine. Greg, finish us off with your non-times, and hopefully it's not about English Football League referees for our side.
No,
podcast, because I've had to bury that one.
Yeah, it's relatively close, and it is a rant, which is no surprise. Let's be honest. The FA Cup. Why is the Premier League trying to ruin what is probably the greatest competition in this country? As a fan of a small, and Miles, you can account for this, being a relatively small team, probably not small to our level, but still relatively small. Being a fan of a small team, and the FA Cup can make or break football clubs like Stevenage, who I support, our year. It can, and not just year, multiple years. The money that is available to, you know, and if a team take, you know, we took Newcastle back in 98 to a replay when we were a part-time non-league football club. Years later, we took Tottenham to a replay when we were a football league, full-time football league club, but still ultimately a small club. And those sort of FA Cup runs. And the thing that annoyed me the most about this is it's not, you know, we're talking about when we play Premier League teams here. I'm talking more about teams that play in step three, step four of non-league, who go into the first round proper, which is a massive achievement for a club at that level, could go and get a League One team who, let's face it, this year you've got teams like Derby, you've got teams like Bolton, you've got big, big sides, who are ex-Premier League sides that are in League One. Why are the Premier League pissing about with that? Why are they getting involved in why replay shouldn't be allowed in round one when they're not even there? Like, they're not there till round three. So I think it's an absolute disgrace. I think as a lower league sort of supporter, especially, it's a slap around the face. The fact that EFL and non-league weren't consulted in this decision. It's a golden handshake between the Premier League and the FA, and the fact it hasn't been reversed already, despite a lot of uproar on Twitter, suggests to me that nothing's going to happen about it, which is just a real shame because it just absolutely kills this competition. And which is, you know, for me, you just got to watch that Coventry Man United game at the weekend, and why would you want to kill something as good as that? Even though United went through in the end, it was an unbelievable game of football to watch. So yeah, just a bit of a rant about the FA Cup, which I had to get in because it's an absolute disgrace. I know there's a few listeners on this podcast who also support lower league teams, and I'm sure we'll vouch for this, but well, yeah, it's something that just I can't stop moaning about because it's really frustrating.
People will always say things like the Champions League and stuff is or the World Cup, for example, the best cup competition in the world. Like, the FA Cup is now 153 years old. It's the longest or oldest cup competition in the world. Last season, 729 teams took part in that competition. So you've got to think how many teams that's directly affecting. Like, if you take off what, like you said, take out the Premier League, even if you want, take out the Championships, you're taking out what, 40, 50 of that. You're still looking at the best part of 650 teams to have the opportunity when you hit the first round to be the difference between being a team for the next couple of seasons.
It's hard to be sustainable as a football club at any level. Like, yeah, there's not many football clubs in this country that are sustainable. And I'm quite fortunate that the team I support are actually relatively sustainable. But there's not many. And there's so many teams that have gone bust over the years, in recent years even, Macclesfield, Bury, etc. You're just making it more difficult. Because, yes, they don't happen every year, but they might only happen one in every 10 years. But that one in every 10 years pays for that club's being sustainable and survive for maybe 5 years. So it's just one of those things that will never not irk me because I just think that the FA and the Premier League, they've done what they've done, and they're just killing what is, you know, a competition that, you know, I mean, I used to grow up in around the time when the FA Cup was like a full day event. It was like you wouldn't have the coverage starting half hour before the game and finishing half hour after. It would be starting at 9 in the morning when there's people already drinking alcohol and on the streets getting ready for the game. Like that's what I remember the FA Cup being when I was growing up. And yeah, it's already been watered down with Jurgen Klopp playing his youth team with his youth team manager a few years ago. And prior to that, Man United, you're just walking out of the cup to play in a World Cup championship. You know, they've tried to put a taint on this incredible competition, but this is like the final straw almost. And it's just a shame.
Let alone semi-finals being played at Wembley as well.
Yeah.
It just made me think, I think back to 2017. Where I used to live, Addersley, there's a team called Addersley Rec, and they got a draw against Mansfield, a league side, and they actually managed to stage it at Addersley. So they managed to get it on in their little ground, and if they'd have managed, they lost 3-1, but if they'd have managed to get a draw, they would now be denied a replay.
Yeah, exactly.
They would now be denied away tie at Mansfield with a bigger gate than they're ever going to get. Do you know what I mean?
Like you said, the money from that gate keeps them going for years.
Yeah. And then literally in the wake of the entire argument that Greg's been talking about, again after the semi-final, Guardiola were moaning about fixture congestion yet again. Like, read the room, mate. Do you know what I mean? I think I don't know if anybody obviously reads David Squires in The Guardian, but he goes in two-footed on Guardiola this week. It's brilliant. Highly recommend it.
That was an utter disgrace, like, to moan. Yeah. Those teams, especially a City, I mean, they've got away with absolute murder. Look at the teams that have had point deductions for financial fair play issues, and for some reason City just get away with it constantly. So to then sit there and moan that they've got to play on the Saturday after they played on the Wednesday. I mean, Jesus Christ, there's non-league teams. I think it's Charnock Richard.
That's a regular occurrence in our leagues, isn't it?
Yeah, it's even further down, there's like Charnock Richard, I think it was, as an example, who fighting to try and get in the playoffs of their league. They've played every 2 days for the last like 4 weeks because they had postponements during the winter that they've just clocked up and they've got to finish the season by a certain date. And it's like, and they've got full-time jobs. They're part-time footballers.
Yeah.
And they're playing every single 2 days to get their season done. They're not moaning about being tired. And there he is moaning about being tired because these half a million a week players are, and you've got squad sizes of 30 plus. Like, if you just use the FA Cup to, you know, I tell you, if Stevenage got Man City in the FA Cup at the Etihad, I don't care if you go and stick your reserve team out there, go for it. We're still going to bring a load of fans. You're going to bring a load of fans and we'll still get a massive payday out of it.
I remember we got City in the Cup not too long ago, and it was in that era, and it was at our place, and they played the odd person, but otherwise it was just a full move to outside. Like, who the hell cares? It's Man City. But like I said, for these lower league teams, this is what we live for. We love the Cup. Any Americans listening that haven't had a clue what we've been talking about for the past 5 minutes, rather than wasting your time watching Rob McElhenney's Wrexham documentaries and wasting your time with JJ Watt and Burnley, just go on YouTube, load up Magic of the FA Cup. You'll find yourself some excellent ties there. And just see what it's all about. It gives yourself a little bit of opportunity what proper football is, because a lot of the time they advertise as much as they can on TV with Wrexham and stuff, but there are teams much worse off than that team, trust me, who don't have millionaire backers. So yeah, the rant is officially over for now, until next podcast, which I'm sure we'll be back. Hopefully, Adam, Brian, Harry, we're all eager to get on and chat about the Titans, and we'll talk post-draft about how we've just signed a future Hall of Famer. We've not ruined it for years to come, and we've done everything we should do. As always, now, Greg, excellent chatting to you, and for everyone listening, until next time, tighten up.
Tighten up.
Tighten up.